Revelation 17 deals with the great religious and political system which will exist in the last seven-year period here on earth before Jesus returns to rule and reign for 1,000 years. In Revelation 18, it deals with the last commercial system which will exist here on earth before the end. Born-again Christians, as we've shared, will not be here. We will be raptured prior to this period. We've studied that. Now, this false religious system is called Babylon, the harlot. The harlot, because of her unfaithfulness to the Lord, to God. Unfaithfulness to the God of all creation, God the Son, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. It's called Babylon because of Babylon's history. That's why we see her mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Babylon, we know, in the area of modern-day Iraq, had a bad beginning, a pagan area. Worship of idols, bad beginning. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 11. Genesis 11, verse 1. Genesis 11, 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. Then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks. Now, notice the word us. This is the people talking. Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Hey, let's reach up into the heavens there. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. So we can see the flesh involved here. They think they're pretty great now. They're all in one area, one language, can really communicate, get a lot of things done. Then the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, they all have one language, and this is what they began to do? How nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them? Well, they can do anything now. They're so great. Come, let us go down, the Trinity, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Can you imagine you're going to work one day, building this tower, and all of a sudden, guys calling for some return, you don't understand them? I don't know what you want. I don't know the dimensions. I don't know what you're talking about. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Babel, confusion, means confusion. The Lord had his way of getting them to scatter, didn't he? Just don't be able to communicate. Because they were headed in a bad area. They were going to do things for themselves. They were going to be all, we're a powerful people. We can do anything. We're strong. Let us build. Let us reach heaven. And you know, many people feel like that today. They can do it in their own strength. So it was a system. Babylon is a system where man rules, the flesh rules, and tries to reach God through their own efforts. This happened around 3000 BC under Nimrod. And in the genealogy, you can see Nimrod. Hammurabi made Babylon a religious power about 1600 BC. By making Marduk god of the city of Babylon. and head of the 1,300 deities. So now they're a spiritual element to this. And idols were worshipped in Babylon. And it's representative of an anti-God religion. And that's why we read in Revelation, it's called Babylon. It's this system that does not believe in the true and the living God, but believes in many things, and here, many deities. It's been said, the wife of Nimrod, Semiramis, became the head of Babylonian mysteries, religious rites and worship of idols. She supposedly gave birth to a son, Tammuz, who claimed to be a savior, the fulfillment of the promise given to Eve in Genesis 3:15. That sound familiar, like taking the place of the true and the living God? They've displaced God and his plan and thought they were going to bring about all of this. And let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 8. The Old Testament prophets were aware of this. Ezekiel chapter 8. Verse 14. There's prophecy of these abominations in the temple, and we read in Ezekiel 8:14. He's speaking of God. So he brought me to the door of the north gate of the Lord's house, and to my dismay, women were sitting there weeping for Tammuz. So we see his this name Tammuz here. And that's was the son that they believe would be the fulfillment of Genesis there. So we see him mentioned there. And another one of the deities was Ishtar, a goddess, a female goddess. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah 7, verse 17. And Jeremiah writes here, do you not see? And this is all telling the people why it's so polluted in Israel. Do you not see what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, the fathers kindle the fire, the women knead dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven. And they pour out drink offerings to other gods that they may provoke me to anger. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to shame of their own face, to the shame of their own faces? So we see here that they were doing things to the queen of heaven. And we kind of see that in the book of Revelation. You know, there's this queen. Turn to Jeremiah 44. We see who that is. Jeremiah 44. Jeremiah 44, verse 16. As for the word that you have spoken to us in the name of the Lord, we will not listen to you. People are talking back here. We will certainly do whatever has gone out. We will certainly do whatever has gone out of our own mouth to burn incense to the queen of heaven. And here it's believed to be they were talking about this Ishtar, the queen of heaven, to burn incense to the queen of heaven and pour out drink offerings to her as we have done. We and our fathers, our kings and our princes in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then we had plenty of food. Hey, when we were worshiping these deities, we had plenty of food. We were doing well. Just like people today that live for mammon, and they're living in pleasure. Hey, we're well off and saw no trouble. But since we stopped burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and pouring out drink offerings to her, hey, we've lacked everything and have been consumed by the sword and by famine. The woman also said, and when we burned incense to the queen of heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make cakes for her to worship her and pour out drink offerings to her without our husband's permission? And they go on to say, well, we only did it because our husbands let us do it. So we can see how polluted the land was. Going back to times of way back in Babylon and these false deities and honoring the queen of heaven, which was false. And then this is all what he's talking about when he talks in this chapter about Babylon, this false religious system. We all know of Nebuchadnezzar, who did what? Built an image of gold to who? To himself. And had everybody bow down. And it goes on and on about Babylon. So when we get to the end of the book, the Bible, the point is Babylon represents this false, idolatrous, anti-God of the Bible religion, which people have been worshiping for a long time. Those that are not faithful to God, our Creator, they worship the creation rather than the Creator, rather than the true and living God. People still do that today. We don't have these names that they had. We have different names like money or prosperity or pleasure, and cults, false religious systems. In the last days, there will be, as we'll read today, one powerful false religious system. And we're going to read what we call it here. Verse 1. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Here we see this great harlot that people apparently are worshiping and believing in. Because we see here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who does what? Sits on many waters. Now, I can tell you right now what most believe it is, but I don't have to do that. Just go down to verse 15. And John tells us what he means by many waters. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. She's sitting on top of a global religious system. People from all nations and tongues. That's where we're headed for the last days. No one's going to change that. As we read Sunday, there are certain things that must happen. And that's one of them. So one of the angels came, talked with John and said, come see. He says, come and see the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters. Looks fine, ruling over all the people, but there's judgment coming on her. It's going to end. It's not going to go on. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. What he's saying here is she has seduced the world. They've all bought into it. People buy into a lot of things today, false things. There aren't those real, not many of those real, true, diehard, born-again Christians that won't budge off their mark, you know? That's where we need to be. Not go for it, not buy into it at all. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication. They were unfaithful. When it speaks of fornication here in the Bible, we're speaking of spiritual fornication. Unfaithful to God. You know, you can be unfaithful to your wife, to your husband, to others, but if you're unfaithful to God, that's the worst type of fornication. You're seeking other gods, and that other god could be yourself. So he says, everybody on this earth, why? Because Christians are taken out of here. We've been raptured. That's how he can say that. They've all bought into this other system. And she's made them drunk. They're like drunk with her teaching. They buy into it. Today, there is a push on, and Satan is the head of it, for unity among religions. Everybody wants to get arm in arm and sing Kumbaya, and we all love each other. We're all okay no matter how you live, what you do, we're okay. And everybody's going to heaven, a better place. They might not call it heaven. See, that you can see today people are open for this. People kind of like that. You know why? Because when you're in something wrong, you like other people to be in it with you. You feel a little comfortable. You know how when we do something that's different, we maybe feel something's wrong and we stand alone in our belief and kind of feel lonely? But don't you love it when someone else comes along and believes the same thing you do and they just stick with you and talk with you and pray with you, feel, ah. And when you do something wrong, it's the same thing. You feel you're trying to defend yourself, and then you get all these people around you that say, yeah, you deserve to go that, do that. You know, you were in a bad situation, you know. That's okay, everybody does. And it kind of, you kind of want to feel better that you did this, you know. And you like these people that come and condone what you do. We're like that as human beings. But we always want to align with the right thing. Always do the right thing. And maybe sometimes we're going to feel alone. And we will be alone in what we stand for. But we need to do that. Because this is the way it's heading. You know, they bought into it. And there will be one false religious system. You know, in 2 Timothy 3, we just read that last week, I believe. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy 3, verse 5. How all the signs of the way society will be at the last days. And verse 5 said, people will have a form of godliness, but deny its power. And from such people, turn away. I think there's a lot of people that don't know about the Holy Spirit. And you know what? You won't until you're born again, because that's when you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. I didn't. I had religion. And my religion was based on, you know, God and right and wrong. But I didn't always live right. And I thought it would be okay. But I didn't have the conviction of the Holy Spirit or the leading of the Holy Spirit, direction of the Holy Spirit, wisdom from the Holy Spirit, the comfort of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you're born again and indwelt with the Holy Spirit, you don't need a babysitter. You don't need a Christian babysitter telling you, you need to do this and you need to do that. That's what I found out right away. I went to church a few times a week. We read the Bible every day. We prayed. We did this. We shared. We were involved in a lot of things simply because I was indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And that's a fruit of the Spirit. You want to share what you have. And you're excited about it. And you know right and wrong. And you have discernment and wisdom. And it's wonderful. But there are people that can just go in and out of church, hear things, go out, and it doesn't affect their life at all because they're not indwelt with the Holy Spirit. And so we'll read today in Revelation, well, we are reading, there will be churches full. It doesn't mean attendance is going to lack. It just means people will like a form of religion. It says right here, in the last days, there'll be a form of God. Well, I feel good about myself because I have this form of godliness. But you don't have any power. That's how you can go out and do what you want to do and agree with everyone and be all-encompassing and loving, you know. But it's not real. And so that's the way it's going to be. It tells us that. And especially the first part of the seven-year period, the first 3.5 years, this is the way it will be because even the temple we know will be rebuilt, which kind of leads to the fact that Muslims and Jews will probably get along. Otherwise, it would never be allowed to be built. And then Christianity is over there too. So we'll see like a, hey, we're all okay. I hear that a lot. You know, you'll be talking to someone and they'll say, well, we all basically believe the same thing. I said, no, we don't. We don't believe the same thing. So this is the way it'll be. And then verse 3, he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness. So he takes John away into the wilderness, and he sees a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. So he carried John away into the wilderness, and in the spirit, he didn't physically move him. In the spirit, he was taken there, and he sees this harlot sitting on a beast, which was full of blasphemous names. Now, we see here on a scarlet beast, a sign of sin, scarlet, on a sinful beast. This woman sitting on a sinful beast. And this beast had seven heads and 10 horns. We know who that is. The beast is the Antichrist. Revelation 13:1. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. So we've studied about that before. She's sitting on the Antichrist. And we read earlier, she's ruling this religious world and sitting on the Antichrist, this scarlet beast. And this beast had seven heads and 10 horns. Now, we've gone over this before, but most agree the seven horns is referring always to the seven hills, what Rome was called, and the poets would write about that, Rome being the city on seven hills. So, situated on seven hills, and the 10 horns, a 10-nation confederacy. One system. Even, and you know, the Antichrist is this. This woman, this religious system, seems to be even sitting and having power over, even on the Antichrist. And there's this 10-nation confederacy which he's heading up, which we'll read about in a few verses here. So what we're getting into is this woman representing Babylon, this false religious system, the Antichrist, he's ruling a 10-nation confederacy situated in Rome, headquartered in Rome. Now, we know this now as the European community, 10-nation confederacy. There's been more than that, less than that in this confederacy, this European Union. All I know is it's going to be 10. Things happen fast today, don't they? Things can change like that from 8 to 15 to 10 to whatever. Today can change today. That's the way it is today. I like that. Because we're close. We don't have to say, well, that's never going to happen. It's going to take a while because there's only seven and there's other people that really aren't interested in joining this 10-nation European nation confederacy. Happen fast. And so, verse 4, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. In other words, she has this royal appearance and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. Really looks beautiful and great and royal. Having in her hand a gold cup, but it's full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. Isn't that awful? This false church seems to dominate the empire, looks wealthy and royal, but in her gold cup, she's an abomination and filthy. She's polluted. The outside looking fine, but on the inside, polluted. Religious, but polluted on the inside. Just like when, I think of Jesus busting these scribes and the Pharisees. He says, you vipers, you snakes, you look like whitewashed tombs. Inside you're full of dead men's bones, but on the outside you look great. Isn't that great? You can't hide anything from the Lord. And her name, verse 5, and on her forehead a name was written. Now, you notice in your Bible it'll be capital M, mystery, comma. Some will say Mystery Babylon the Great. That's not what it says here. It says mystery. Her name was written. First mystery, then Babylon the Great, then the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. That's the way it is. Mystery. In this place, it's a noun. It's a physical thing. Mystery, she's called. Also called Babylon the Great, and we've gone over Babylon. What was Babylon like? What does it represent? And also, She's the mother of harlots, of the abominations of the earth. Why the mother of harlots? Because she is unfaithful to God. She's fornicating with God and causing other people to fornicate. Isn't that sad? Mystery. In the New Testament, we read about the church, Paul's saying, it's a mystery. And we went over this. It means a truth previously not known, that there would be a group of people called the church. The mystery, because here's this group of people that are going to believe in this unfaithful religious system. So she's called mystery too, known now in the New Testament. And she is the worst, the mother of harlots and abominations. Nasty, I wouldn't like a name like that. And then verse 6, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. John can't believe what he saw. This woman, this harlot, this fornicating religious system killed many of the saints. He sees how powerful she is, that she was, you know, he's probably like we are. Hey, Christianity is going to just prosper and grow and bloom, you know. And he probably couldn't believe, what? They're all going to be killed? She was that powerful? He sees she's drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs. She's had people martyred for their faith, drunk with the blood of saints have been martyred, martyrs of Jesus. And I marveled with great amazement. He can't believe it. He's amazed at the fact that she could cause death among believers. It's estimated in the first 300 years of the church, 6 million Christians were martyred. And then in the tribulation period, as we've been reading, there's going to be martyrs. People are going to die for their faith. John can't believe that. And so the angel talks to him, verse 7, but the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. Don't marvel. I'm going to tell you about her. The beast that you saw was and is not and will ascend out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition or destruction. And those who dwell on the earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not and yet is. Do you remember when we read about the Antichrist being supposedly dead, then raised to life, and then now he is here again, released from the abyss? That's why it says here, the beast you saw, speaking of the Antichrist, of course, was at one time, then is not, but is going to ascend again out of the bottomless pit, but then go to destruction. So here, not here, here, not here, forever in destruction. That's what he's telling him. So don't worry about it. And the world's, and all those that are here on the earth, which will be the unbelievers, not written in the book of life, they saw that beast that was and not and is not and yet is. They're going to marvel at that. Whoa. This guy is powerful. You see? So and when you read chapter 11, verse 7, when they finish, 11, verse 7, he ascends out of the bottomless pit. When they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. So, you know, supposedly, you know, they're going to marvel that he was there, and then he's not there, and that he's here again. Revelation 13, 3. And I saw one of his heads as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Wow, he's back. He's okay. They're going to marvel at that. And he's there again. Now, verse 9. Here is the mind which has wisdom. So he gives us some clues here about what he's talking about. The 7 heads are 7 mountains on which the woman sits. I think that's pretty clear. Mystery, Babylon, this religious, unfaithful group of people that are run by this woman or that believe in this false religious system, we're told here that the heads are seven mountains on which this woman sits. So the headquarters is in Rome. That seems to fit a religious headquarter in Rome. There it is. That's all we have to say. Verse 10, there are also seven kings. Five have fallen, or also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, the other has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. So this one gets a little difficult. He says, there are seven kings. Five have fallen. One is in John's time. He is, at the time John was writing. And one is yet to come. You know, many believe this means seven literal Roman emperors that were controlling the earth at one time or another. Some believe it's a reflective list because there were more than seven literal ones, maybe seven powerful major ones, but there were more than that. Some believe seven forms of Roman government. But the point is, five have been gone. We know that at John's time. There's one in John's time, he's saying. He said here in verse 10. One is in John's time, and the other has not yet come. So there's one in John's writing here that was yet to come that is going to rule for just a short time. And we'll see why down below. But there's another Roman emperor that will still rule, but just for a very short time. Now, then he tells us in verse 11, the beast, the Antichrist that was and is not, is himself also the eighth. He's going to be the final ruling one. He's going to rule. Even after that seventh one, the eventual head will be the Antichrist. He was the one that was and is not. We've gone over that. He's also the eighth. But I noticed this in verse 11. And he's of the seven and is going to perdition, to destruction. The beast will be the eighth ruler, the Antichrist. And it sort of says here that he's of the seven, that he kind of was one of the seven somehow. And I'm just throwing this out there. This is, I've just read this, kind of think about it. We'll probably find out when we go to be with the Lord. But I'm just putting this out there. Nero, and there are many that believe this, Nero Caesar was the first emperor to persecute Christians. Nero was the one, the leader, the ruler. And I've read that the numerical value of Caesar Nero in Hebrew, not in Greek, in Hebrew, is 666. Now, if that's the case, this Antichrist would have the same spirit, which you could refer to, as Nero did, who was a great persecutor. That's just putting it out there. So that's one possibility, referring to the fact that he could be of the same spirit. That's why he was out of those seven. I think of John the Baptist when they said Elijah has come. And you remember what Jesus said? He has in spirit. He's still going to come. But in spirit, John the Baptist was that forerunner to Christ. And so that's been mentioned before about that being of the same spirit. But he's going to destruction anyway. We do know that. Now verse 12. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings. So here's where we see this European confederacy, because we know this is situated on the seven hills in Rome. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, going to be 10 rulers, who have received no kingdom as yet. It seems that this religious system is ruling the earth. What we see here is a mix of now a politics of religion and politics. Not good. Never was. The church was fine the first years until it was politicized. And then it became a state religion, and that's when it went downhill. Not a good idea. Not a good idea here. The 10 horns, you know, they receive no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour, which means a short time, as kings with the beast. So at first, the Antichrist is going to have authority from the Antichrist to do their thing. They're going to be okay. They're going to get along. These 10 kings, they're going to be, they had no kingdom, but they're going to get some authority for a short time to rule with the beast. Okay, so you got now the Antichrist and the 10-nation confederacy ruling in Rome. And we know all the things that happened in the tribulation and receiving the mark and all of that. Well, what about the woman over here with the false religious system who was all powerful over everybody? What's going to happen there? Well, we're going to see. These people that with the Antichrist and the 10 nations are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. Hey, go ahead, rule over us. You remember how it tells us the Antichrist will be a peaceful man at first? First 3.5 years? Allow the temple to be rebuilt and all? Yeah, you're great. See, the world is looking for a good world ruler. They are. They're looking for someone to rule in peace and bring peace to people. Have one religious system. Let's all gather together as one global unit. Let's have one economy, and just things will just be great. And you can build your temple, and you guys can still stay in your mosque over there, and everything's going to work out. And the Christians can be here too. It'll be great. Looks good on the outside, doesn't it? You know what they say? If it looks too good to be true, then it is too good to be true. It's not going to be nice. Because you notice this? They're of one mind, verse 13. It gives them power. But what happens in the next verse? Then all of a sudden he and his group of people, nations here, these will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. They're going to say, let's go fight against this Jesus. And we're going to read about that, the Battle of Armageddon, in a couple of weeks. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. That's us. We're called, chosen, and faithful. We've come to Jesus. We are going to be with him, and when we at that battle, and we'll see that in a couple of weeks. And then he said, and then he goes back to what he's been sharing with him now. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. So we already went over that. She's ruling over it. But look at verse 16. The 10 horns which you saw in the beast, the Antichrist and leading his 10 nations, all of a sudden, they will hate the harlot. Hey, wait a minute. This is too constricting. We don't want you part of this ruling power. We don't want religion. We don't want anything like that. So they're going to hate the harlot, make her desolate and naked, eat her flesh and burn her with fire. They're going to destroy it all, the whole system. That's one good thing. But they go on to a worse system, you know, headed up by the Antichrist. But they get rid of that false religious system and the ruler in it. They hate her, make her desolate. It's probably because of pride and wanting to rule. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. This is really neat, isn't it? God put it into their hearts to go and do that, to destroy that system. God puts it into the heart of man, what he wants, how to achieve his plan. He used Babylon and Nebuchadnezzar to bring judgment on his people Israel. He used the enemies to bring his judgment on the people. He puts it into the heart of people how to achieve what he wants done. And here he put it into their heart to, hey, get rid of this false religious system. And the woman who you saw is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth, Babylon, he's speaking of. Now, we end there, but if you, on your own, read Daniel chapter 7, especially verses 23 to 28, you're going to see about these 10 kings, 10 nation confederacy. And then read Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2 from verse 29 to 45. Because it speaks about these kingdoms that where it comes up to the last kingdom which is the kingdom of Jesus. And the thing is, it's true. It happened. It was prophecy in Daniel. But there was the Babylonian kingdom, you know, then the Medo-Persian, then the Grecian, then the Romans, and then there's going to be the stone that's going to break them all. And that's what he's really talking about here, how there'll be that confederation of nations headed up in Rome. But read that on your own, and you'll see how it was prophesied, and we read tonight how it will happen. God, we thank you for your word. We pray that this would soak in, and we would understand what lies ahead. But we thank you that we won't be here. But it's good to be able to share with others, Lord, how prophecy is always fulfilled. And even when you spoke of these things way back before Jesus was even born, how there would be this kingdom that never ends, greater than all those before it. We thank you, Lord, that your word is sure. It will happen, whatever you say. Therefore, we know we're going to spend eternity with you in heaven, because you tell us, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.